Friday, it's my great pleasure to speak to Jean-Jacques Cornuche, the Eyewitness News Africa correspondent. Good morning, Jean-Jacques. Hope all is well in the Yakaranya
city. Bonjour to you. Oh, fantastic. A lot of rain, and we need it desperately.
No, of course.
So, it's and better than the kind of civil service rain. You know, Pretoria, the rain starts at about 3:30 and goes on to just after 4 o'clock, so that all the public servants in their safari suits are sodden. Well, it's going on a bit longer than that, so fantastic.
Okay. Jean-Jacques, I must admit, maybe I just haven't been paying attention to if there was rolling coverage. Maybe it didn't, I didn't see it. Maybe it was just not part of the algorithm, as they say, news that I see. But, from my point of view, the visit of Pope Francis to Congo and South Sudan, I haven't seen this. Maybe just my media diet and how the internet and things spits out what they think I'd be interested in. But the visit by Pope Francis to the Congo and South Sudan, come and gone. What has been the impact of this visit?
Well, he's still in the Congo. He goes to South Sudan at the weekend. Now, South Sudan, you will remember that 3 years ago, he went and washed the feet of Salva Kiir and Riek Machar and said, "I ask you as a brother, stay in peace." You know, they'd signed a peace. So there's peace talks or talking about peace in South Sudan. But the Congo, the DRC, Lester, can you believe it, is the fifth largest Catholic country on the planet. Now, yesterday at a mass in Kinshasa, more than 1 million people attended that mass. And the Pope has made no apology for the role of the Catholic Church in the very sad colonial history of the Congo, but has said today that this is a diamond of creation, this country, and it's not a mine to be stripped. Hands off the Congo. You know, they're taking these precious minerals that they use for cell phone and other modern technology and are actually stripping the country. So they're saying that, you know, they're exploiting it rather like King Leopold stripped the Congo, and the neighbors are playing a similar role today. So he's had very, very tough words. Some people would have liked him to sort of acknowledge the role of the Catholic Church or the bad role of the Catholic Church in colonial times. Mm. But here's a country, you know, I think it's 80 times the size of Belgium itself, that has this very, very bad. I often say to people, you know, if you ever say, well, how long are you going to blame colonialism? I always say, read Adam Hochschild's book on King Leopold's ghost, and you'll understand why this day, 2023, the Congolese are still paying for the evils of that colonial system.
I've been looking a lot on the projected economic data and growth patterns of particularly established and emerging economies. Lots of established economies are worried of about 2023 as being a period of low growth. The UK, for example, is actually expected to go into somewhat of a decline, with an expectation, I think, -0.06% negative growth this year. But there are sub-Saharan African countries that are on the watch, that people are looking at and are saying there could be some very exciting growth in five sub-Saharan economies to watch in 2023.
We in South Africa are due to have growth, just over
1%. 1.4%, but 1.4%, some growth.
Yes, and we're having people saying, well, wouldn't it, imagine what we could be doing if we had people who in command of the economy who could actually do the job.
Mm.
anyway, here we have the five sub-Saharan countries to look at would be Angola, Ethiopia, Nigeria, Kenya, and South Africa. They're going to have growth between 3.5% this year and 3.9% next year. But here we go, Lester. If we took South Africa and Angola out of that, their growth would be 4.5% this year and 6% next year. So, effectively, Angola and South Africa, two of the wealthiest of the countries I've just mentioned, actually are somewhat putting on the brakes. They are slower than the rest.
Mm.
But this is so interesting because, you know, This sub-Saharan Africa has 70% of the world's poor people. Mm. And, you know, and we did expect that following the Ukraine, there would be, following COVID, there would be, some very healthy growth. But we've had weather conditions that have really hampered things. And of course, the invasion by Russia of the Ukraine, which has soared food prices and, really messed with supply chains and that sort of thing. Commodity prices have gone up. Food has gone up, but it's so interesting to see. And it's heartening that we're going to have growth in sub-Sahara Africa.
Jean-Jacques, Israel as a state is making a very, very big push into Africa, into improving relations with African countries. I understand Chad opening up announcing opening up of a diplomatic mission, embassy in Israel. But that's not the entirety of Africa. In Morocco, there've been protests about the normalizing of relations between the Kingdom of Morocco and the State of Israel.
Well, you know, Morocco, of course, is a pariah in terms of its behavior towards the Western Sahara. And, you know, they don't brook any. I mean, they and Swaziland are the two last absolute monarchies in Africa. And they don't brook any protests. So it's very, very brave of the socialist leader, Nabila Munib and Abdel Hamid Anin, the Moroccan Democratic Front leader, to protest outside the parliament in Rabat, saying that we're rushing this thing about normalizing relations with Israel. And this is upsetting national sovereignty. It's not for them. It's all about actually support for Palestine. And it's very interesting that they should be supporting Palestine. I'd love to hear what they say about very similar situation of an occupied country, which is Western Sahara. Okay. So there's that double standard there. But the normalization of ties was something that Donald Trump brought in, wanting to bring, you know, wanting to get some diplomatic cachet in his losing election campaign. And he brought that in with the understanding that Washington would recognize Moroccan sovereignty over Western Sahara. Well, of course, Joe Biden hasn't done anything of the sort, although he hasn't rescinded that. So it's very interesting to see what is happening there. But 64%, a healthy majority of Moroccans strongly oppose the normalization of relations with Morocco's normalization of relations with Israel. And as I say, that's all about support for the Palestinian cause.
Jean-Jacques Cornish, looking forward to chatting to you next week with the Africa Report. Stay well. Enjoy your weekend.